Episode 34 of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. It's a great place to discover new makeup and uncover your confidence as a woman. And better yet, you can check out my free videos and tutorials by searching the hashtag MinuteWithMary on Facebook. And even if you are not a makeup person, it's still fun, guys. So come and find me, hashtag MinuteWithMary.
Here's the thing, Mel. I don't want to buy one of those used cars out there.
No?
That Wagoneer, that's my family. Car. I can see it so clearly. It's sturdy, tough. Pearsons, we need tough. Because I can tell you right now, there's going to be scrapes.
I did something bad parking.
And dings.
Oops.
And stains.
Ever get
so many stains. But that's okay. Because every battle scar is going to be another memory. And eventually, that car out there, that car is going to tell my family's story just by looking at it. But here's the thing, Mel. I can't afford that car. I can't. Which is why I need you to help me. I mean, as parents, we talk a lot about what we want for our kids, right? I mean, I know I think about it a lot. What I want for mine. And I can come up with a fancy word that's gonna make me sound a whole lot smarter than I actually am, but the one word I keep coming back to is okay. I want my kids to be okay, Mel. I want my family to be okay.
From Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I think Jack is describing our Durango, our car.
Oh,
all
right?
The scratches.
All the scratches.
All the dings.
All the spills.
All the stains. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Kids, man, do a number on your car. It's so true.
I can't believe the accuracy with which Jack used to describe our Dodge Durango.
Oh, I love it. But I feel like so many people can just feel that way, whether you have kids or not. I mean, cars take you through so many different adventures and spills and crashes and everything. Mm-hmm. And they really have their own journeys to tell you. And I love that that's one of the things that this episode was able to do for us, was to take us on a journey. And one of those journeys, of course, was Rebecca's phobia of crossing the bridge. And when I watched this part of this episode, oh, Blake and I just,
what you're gonna
say. We just kept laughing. So I have a pretty severe phobia about needles, but particularly blood coming out of me, like when it's not supposed to be, particularly like if I need a blood draw. I was in a bad car accident when I was in sixth grade. And I didn't even bleed that much, but entering the hospital was a mess. Needless to say, I have had a phobia of blood ever since that accident because of what I saw. So when I was pregnant, you have to have your blood drawn a lot while you're pregnant, guys. So for someone like me, who normally, you know, I get my blood taken every 5 years, even though you're supposed to have it done every year, I avoid it like the plague. So what happens to me is I get all sweaty. I can't even squeeze that dang squeezy thing. You know how they give you that little like ball to squeeze? I lose all control over my hand. I start sweating. I think I'm squeezing it and really my fingers have stopped. It doesn't help that I have small veins. So, and they say that too. They're like, ooh, you have small veins. And I'm like, I know. Thanks for making this worse. Let's just hurry up and get that little butterfly thing that you give a 3-year-old to get blood because we need to make this quick and efficient and pain-free. And there's this wonderful, wonderful phlebotomist who was German.
No, she was Greek.
Greek. Oh, she was Greek. You're right. She was Greek. And I would only get my blood drawn when I was pregnant on the days that this precious little Greek woman was there.
This little Yaya.
The Yaya was there on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10. And whenever I needed to get my blood drawn, I was like, only if she's there. And there was one time that she wasn't there. Because this woman knew me. She knew. She was like, oh, you have a sweater? I'm going to take out a fan. I'm going to get the tissues for you. And she used to like have this little TV and like silly shows were on and stuff. And Blake would just sit there and squeeze my hand tight to help me get through it. And one day the woman wasn't there. And it was like a mean woman. Do you remember that mean woman?
I do remember the mean lady.
And I looked at Blake and I said, it's up to you. It's
you're
up to
get
you.
Me through this.
And Blake held my hand and talked me through. Through funny little stories.
Mary's like, distract me. I'm like, I don't know. I started talking about the Red Sox.
Baseball. He told me all about baseball. And it reminded me of Rebecca being serenaded to La 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 Lasagna.
Oh, that's so cute.
All right, Blake. So break down this episode details.
I'm going to do this in my best Boston accent possible. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
This episode is called The Car.
The Car.
It's called The Car. It's directed by Ken Olin, and the writers were Isaac Apteka and Elizabeth Berger, mm-hmm. who are the current showrunners for season 2 and season 3. And they have written Pilgrim Rick, Jack Pearson's Son, Moonshadow, and Deja Vu. And I would go over all the episodes that Ken Olin has directed for you, but he's directed 40 million of them.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like going over all of them. All you have to know is that he directed all the number episodes. Number
hey, there
one,
you
number
go.
Two, number three. And you know, I mean, some other great ones, obviously, like Moonshadow and everything. But those are the details.
Okay, awesome. And, right, lemonade rating time then.
Yes.
What would you give this episode on a scale of 1 to 5 lemonades?
I'm giving this a 5. I'm giving this a 5. It's not a 5+, but it's definitely a 5. Because it serves as this capper or a mm-hmm. cap to mm-hmm. this little trilogy that's kind of come about for Jack's death, essentially. Mm-hmm. This is actually, remember how last episode we were talking about a denouement? How you
yes.
thought it was a ferret with a beret.
A beret.
This was actually an episode long denouement. Mm. And I quite liked it. How about you, my darling?
I'm giving this a 5 as well, even just for the fact that the lemonade reference came back up. Of course, we got to have it in the first episode of the first season. Mm-hmm. And then Rebecca even mentions, you know, the lemonade quote with Dr. K. So even right when that happened, I was like, automatic 5.
Yep.
Automatic. All right. Time for the GBGs, the good, the bad, the great. My good was Rebecca crossing the bridge at the end. I mean, well, both times. The first time with a la lasagna.
Weird Al Yankovic. Oh, thank you for him.
So good. So, so fun. But then also her conquering that and just that scene. Just that scene and knowing what that meant for the family and that Rebecca was ready to handle all of life's challenges just by seeing that shot with the bridge. My bad was Kevin and Randall's fighting. Mm-hmm. Oh, so awkward, especially at the reception. Ay, ay, ay. Mm-hmm. And my great was Dr. Kevin. Dr. K reminding Rebecca of her strength, you know, saying that whole, like, you're the same woman who lost a child and rode out to my hospital with 3 babies just the same. That whole conversation with Dr. K was one of the greatest moments of this episode in my books. How about you? Mm. What was your GBG?
My good was the significance and the poetry of the tree.
Mm.
I thought that was just tremendous. I mean, because I like it because it's the one where you find out you're okay.
Oh.
And how special that is for Jack. I mean, it's the closest one to the closest payphone and all that other stuff. But it's great. And the one where you find out you're okay, it has double meaning now for both Kevin and Rebecca. I mean, she promises at the end of this episode that the family will be okay. But Kevin also, because he finds out that he is okay with his dad's death in the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, you are finding out that you are okay no matter what. My bad was... Now that Jack has died, the big mystery has been solved. One thing I kept thinking of this entire episode, or at least once this episode ended, I've been thinking, where the hell are we going to go from here? Like, what's going to happen from here? And is this show going to be the same? Does it even want to be the same? Should it be the same, or should it be something else completely? Mm-hmm. Can you just keep on going back to the well of having all these flashbacks and all this other stuff? So it's not that it's necessarily bad from the episode's perspective, but it's more a feeling of what I got after watching this episode. I couldn't stop thinking, what are we going to end up doing here?
Yeah.
The great for me, and I've said this before, I'm going to continue to say it, I think that the show has grown so incredibly confident with itself, and it's only getting better. I mean, mm-hmm. the whole structure of this episode is so out of the norm for This Is Us, in my opinion. And it stands as a great entry into how malleable This Is Us can really be. I mean, it went from flashback to flashback, within a flashback, within another flashback. It was like Inception, mm-hmm. but for This Is Us. I mean, it revealed things that we never knew, like Rebecca has a cancer scare out of nowhere, you know? And then it's showing things that we've seen before, like Jack's funeral, or the tire blowing out at the Thanksgiving episode, or even Jack going to see Kate at school when he drove to see her before going to his first bout or going to fight against his first bout of alcoholism. You know, this episode may have been centered around the car, which I think is a great, great little conceit here. But I feel like we stepped right into the brains, into the shared memories of the Pearson family. Each of them has this, like this specific memory of this car, whether it's you know, totally as like a family or just a separate memory. And it's like if we took all these separate memories and put them all together, we're seeing like these little snippets and moments of their lives that were all revolved around a man who made it his business to be so attentive to these small moments. You know what I mean?
I do. It's it reminds me, it's like you got these moments in the car and you've got these moments at the kitchen table. Mm-hmm. You know, like it could have been either of those because you have all these talks, all these life experiences at both of those places. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting that they had that. So I like that.
Another entry, a great entry into the Ken Olin Library, the Mary and Blake Hall of Fame, Ken Olin Library dedicated director's chair. The opening of this episode was spectacular. Notice that the episode opens up on Rebecca sitting alone in her, in an empty car with like this helpless look.
Yes.
And how could she not? I mean, she is preparing to go to her funeral for her husband who just died suddenly. Which, when you look at this car, it's an empty car with Rebecca in it. It's almost like you can consider it an empty shell.
Ooh, okay. And getting deep.
It's an empty shell of memories. And then the camera pulls up on her, and it shows you from behind her. She's in the car with her eyes in the rearview mirror. She's an empty shell of herself looking back in the rear view or in the past about Jack. But then the episode closes with Rebecca.
Full car.
With her and her kids in the car. No longer an empty shell, going to a Springsteen concert. Looking forward to the first thing that they have done without Jack. And she isn't upset by the bridge, either because she has moved on or because she has to do what she needs to do for her kids going forward.
Oh, love it. Love it.
I loved how the episode ended and I loved how the episode began.
Agreed.
Excellent stuff.
Agreed. I mean, just everything with the car. The only problem that I had with the car, can I get this off my chest?
Yes, go right ahead.
Was that Jack bought it?
Oh, yeah, without like talking to her about it?
He's done this before, you know?
Sounds like somebody I know.
Bought that. No, but at least I was just engaged. I wasn't like full-fledged married. Just like how he bought the house.
Yeah.
You know, Jack does these things where he buys big things without necessarily talking it through with Rebecca. But then again, this works in their relationship and this must be how it goes. And she questioned it for 1 second and then was happy and said, Dad bought the car. Here we go. Dad bought the Wagoneer. So at first I was like, are you kidding me, Jack? Like you didn't mention it. You said, yeah, the little over. Well, what does a little over mean, buddy? Like, where's that money coming from? But then I saw Rebecca was smiling. I thought, Mary, this isn't your relationship. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. Don't be judging other people's marriages.
It may not work for you, but it works for them.
That would not have worked for me. Oh, don't worry about it. It's more. It's more than we wanted. Well, what do you mean more?
Oh, my goodness.
Where's that money coming from? So I needed to get that off my chest, because if you felt that way too, just know that I'm giving you a little fist bump. And then I gave grace. I said, Mary, don't judge. Everyone's marriage is what? I'm serious. I had to get it off my chest. Okay. Aside from that, I need to give huge props to all of these young actors of the big three, whether the young kids, you know, getting to see them experience the car and the joy, but also really the teenage kids. The teenage kids are blowing me away. Seeing the little things that they do, that they continue to do throughout youth and teens and adulthood, that you really can tell that these actors study each other.
Oh, yeah.
So that they can say, whether I'm 8, you know, 18, 38, well, let's make it more 7, 17 and 37. You can say, yep, I see this. I can see 100% that this is that same person. So this episode in particular blew me away with the teens acting.
Yeah, you can't help but be blown away by them, especially what I found was during the funeral parlor scene with the confrontation between Randall and Kevin. I mean, it starts off with Randall saying, "What's the matter with you?" And Kevin saying,
"The watch."
With the watch. Mm-hmm. And Kevin saying, You know what, man? I'm tired of the act. I'm tired of watching you pretend to be the new man of the house." And then Randall tries to say, "I'm not trying to be the new man." And Kevin says, "A real man would have stopped Dad from going back in there.
Ugh.
I never would have let Dad go back in."
Ugh.
And as bad as that is, I give credit to Randall. He says, "But you weren't there, Kev. You're never there for anyone."
You thought Kevin had the upper hand, Randall came in and was like, "Oh, yeah? I raise you."
Yeah, how do you like me now?
I raise you.
But the acting in here, especially when you consider that it's about this watch, you know, it's a little keepsake, and it's something that, like, I could see how a testosterone-filled 17-year-old boy would get mad about that. I mean, I think I would get mad about that now, and I'm 35.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of get it. I kind of do. And I even get the outburst at the funeral home because things are just, they're too hot right now. They're too hot for
these kids. Well, that's the first time he's seen it. If you think about it, like, Kevin always has this chip on his shoulder that Randall is Rebecca's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Randall just gets the watch without it even being said. There were so few things actually saved from that house. Mm-hmm. It's not even like they can divvy up Dad's clothing or his other items. Like, that is it. It is the watch. And thank goodness Kevin has that necklace.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. But still, I totally get it. I would have seen it and said, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?"
Mm-hmm.
I get it on even days. You can have it on odd days.
Yep. That's how you figure out most of your stuff.
Yeah.
Even days, odd days.
That's how we handled things in my family. Who wants the front seat? Even day or odd day. Who gets to choose what's on TV? Even day or odd day.
Dr. K.
Oh.
What are your feelings on Dr. K? Who was married, who remarried to that lady with the carpets on the wall.
Oh, that just made me so happy. All of this made me happy. You know, you never know. It's life is crazy. Life is crazy. And a huge part of me has kind of felt that Dr. K would be dead by now, which is terrible. But I just kind of haven't been thinking about Dr. K. I mean, he was a little old to begin with. And so he's just a sprightly man who is continuing to do very well, albeit with the assistance of a crutch. But my goodness, his showing up was such a surprise. I've been wanting to see him. I've missed him. I've loved him. And I'm happy that he came back. But gosh, you couldn't have asked for better timing.
Sure.
And for him to come and to be able to reinvigorate Rebecca, just how he was able to do it for Jack, and to let her know that, to let her know, oh no, Jack didn't have everything planned. Jack didn't see the future. Jack didn't, you know, he wasn't all put together. And I had to talk to him multiple times, multiple times. So he was able to take this hero, Jack, and keep him still being that hero and that amazing man that he was, and yet tell Rebecca, like, you don't have to be perfect for your children. Your husband wasn't perfect. He just figured it out, and you're going to be able to figure it out because you are strong too.
And it was excellent how he just said, "You walked into my hospital with three babies. You lost one and still managed to walk out with three."
Mm.
That was – and Gerald McCraney. He was my first Binky of this show.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to continue to say that he is my first Binky. And I cannot get enough of Dr. K. I want Dr. K in my life for the rest of my life.
I know.
But seeing him is exceptional. And am I finding it a little hard to believe that he would still be alive at this point and showing up at this funeral? Maybe. But you know what? I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it, too.
I'm fine with it. I liked it so much because, you know, seeing life without Jack in the immediacy after his death is hard to watch as a viewer. It's jarring. It is sad. It's painful. And they're pulling themselves together, but they're unraveling. The Pearson family is unraveling.
I know why I thought he was dead. Sorry. Why? It's just because we saw him like almost die.
Oh.
I'm like, why did I think he was dead? He wasn't dead. Remember when he thought he was going to die and then he ended up being okay?
Yep.
Okay, continue. Sorry, my brain.
It's okay, no problem. So they're unraveling. I mean, Kevin and Randall are already starting to butt heads. I mean, Kate is blaming herself for her dad's death. Rebecca is worrying that she's going to fail her family without Jack. Mm-hmm. It's all true. I mean, it's all 100% true. But Dr. K steps in and does what he does. And I think that admission to Rebecca that Jack would come to visit him in the hospital and Mandy Moore's reaction was an inspired bit of writing. It's like when, you know, like when you watch your kids and they don't know that you're watching them, but they go and do something and all of a sudden you have this open world of possibility. You're like, oh my God, they did stuff outside of my perspective.
Yes.
And I got that immediate sense from Mandy Moore when Dr. K says, yeah, he came into my hospital all the time and sat down on my couch and talked about his fears and all this. And watching her face, it was a thing of beauty, like, oh my God, are you serious? Mm-hmm. How is that even possible? And she's still, to this day, learning about Jack, a man that to whom she's been married for, you know, 20 years or so.
Goes to show you, Jack is not an oversharer, because there is no way that I've been going to see Dr. K and not tell you every single little thing. I would have come back and been like, so this is what I learned, you know?
So I wonder if we get more scenes like this, but played out in a flashback form, so that we, as viewers, can get that same reaction that Rebecca had, to be like, oh my God.
Like, you think, like, I want to see some flashback scenes of these visits, of why,
oh yes,
why Jack goes to see Dr. K, what these conversations are like. I'd be down with that.
We saw it once.
Yeah, when he was nervous about Rebecca's mental stability.
Right, and you know, fair game, or in my opinion. I think that's totally fair. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see more of that.
Yes.
I would love to see the young Jack who has no idea what he's doing. He is very scared.
Well, he doesn't have a father figure.
And it would totally play into that, and it would make sense why Dr. K came to this funeral. Mm-hmm. And listen, it gets more Gerald McCraney in my life, which I'm not going to, you know, be upset about.
You know what I would love to also see?
What?
Is to see that some of Jack's other phrases and things that he learns and does as a father that he's learned from Dr. K.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I mean, Jack just seems to be like this, like, kick butt father. And granted, he wants to be that for his kids because his dad wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I want to see if, like, we don't know how many times he went to see Dr. K. Mm-hmm. But what if in one of these flashbacks in our dream worlds that are, you know, he's going to be visiting Dr. K in our future. If we see something that Dr. K is able to shed light on, and then we realize, like, oh, this is why Jack has done this for the past two seasons. This is why, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know.
No, I get it.
I just am happy that he had that. He had a father figure.
I totally get it. I also really liked in this episode, too, when, you know, they're buying the car and all the kids are so happy and joyful. And I kind of get it because I had one of those Wagoneers growing up myself.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I had a brown one with the brown wood paneling. And the funny thing is that as it got older, rocks somehow got into the hubcaps.
Ew.
And so every time you drove, you would hear, you know, like when you hear like coin in the laundry?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like every time we drove.
So annoying.
But as these kids are, you know, as he's buying the vehicle and the kids are like, oh my God, it's so great. They're also intercutting that with all of them getting into the vehicle when it's sad and the thing and the funeral. It's just a great juxtaposition for this entire episode.
You know, one of the moments that really struck me in that vehicle as they were going to the funeral was Kevin not being able to do his tie. And if you think about it, his dad had just, what, a week before taught him how to do his tie when he was getting sized for that suit, when he was getting it picked out. And then there's Randall, who wears a tie to school every day. And that flash of Jack teaching Randall how to do his tie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it just killed me. It just killed me.
Oh, man, it was great. And again, showing the flashbacks throughout the entire series and then adding more flashbacks to it. The episode did this great thing. It's just staying in the time of the flashback times. It didn't show any of the current time. It didn't show older Kate or whatever. It just stayed where it needed to stay. And I've always felt that the show is at its best when it focuses on one thing. Because, you know, that's like the problem with having this big ensemble cast. It's the big problem with having a conceit where you have to have these flashbacks. You have multiple timelines. You're not doing the full story full justice when you're going back and forth. But I like when it stays, and it's only done this a couple of times, when it just stays in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It did it for Williams' episode. I think it did it for The Big Day, from what I recall. And I think it does it, and obviously it does it for this episode too. So I really like that.
Having Rebecca have such a tight feeling to being there before the urn is placed when she said, "I wanted to be here when my husband arrived." Oh my goodness. And then her taking it, like when they said, "No, we usually take it." "Nope, I'm taking it." Just her ownership of feeling that she needed to be there because she wasn't there when he died. And even how they were spreading his ashes, and Kate asks, you know, "Can we not do all of it?" P.S. That is not what the weather in Pittsburgh at January 31st would normally feel like. That's my other thing that I was like, how is it January 31st? Now, granted, we've had some wacky weather and sometimes it's warm in the winter, but I don't know. Aside from that, that's the only thing that like took me out of that moment. I was like crying and I'm like, it's not January.
Hey, I also liked the thing here too, where we talk about Jack's brother. Where he's like, "Oh, yeah, I had a brother." He's talking to Randall and Kevin.
After he kicked them out of the car?
Kicked him out of the car. That was awesome.
That was amazing. That Get out. 5 miles. Yep.
Yep. You're going to walk home. He does confirm that he was in Vietnam with his brother, and his brother did die. So I like the idea that we're getting this information that Nikki, his brother, was in Vietnam and he's dead. We know what happened there. And happened then, right? It may not necessarily be from the war itself, but he did die.
Yeah.
And it probably is because of the war. And I think it's a good way to, because I was afraid that it's going to set up this other mystery, you know, like, how's Nikki going to die? You know, like, I'm glad it hasn't done that.
Yeah, I agree.
So, my love, do you have any final thoughts for this episode?
No, it just... It re-showed you where all these seeds started to be planted, with how these kids and now adults are still reacting to their dad's tragic death. And, you know, for Rebecca to tell Kate, like, it wasn't your fault. It's not your fault. And still Kate thinks that it is, you know, 20 years later.
Right.
It was a beautiful episode, and I'm really happy that we got to watch it.
Yeah. Is it bad of me that when I saw Randall drop all the drinks, I thought of you?
No, that's me, man.
Drinks everywhere.
It's so bad. It is so bad.
Oh, man.
Depth perception problems.
My final thoughts for this episode is, it's an episode that I think is very well written. And Isaac Aptaker and Elizabeth Berger, even in spite of their age and how relatively young writers they are, and... they've been in the game for a while now, but not as major showrunners. They're new showrunners. I give them a lot of credit for not only knowing what serves the story best, but serves their audience the best.
Yeah.
We needed this episode, I think, as an audience. We needed to like just remember Jack, and they have it with, again, the conceit of the car and also a funeral, and
we needed a funeral.
Yeah. And seeing Jack's photo next to the urn, it was it was special. It was a special moment, and one again, one that we needed. I didn't find myself crying as much as I did in this episode as much as I did in the previous one. But for me, I think it was more of a bittersweet thing. Like, it was a memorial for me. Like, yeah, that was, it sucked that he died, but these are all such beautiful moments. Mm-hmm. I'm appreciating them more.
Yeah.
So I give Aptaker and Berger a lot of credit for knowing what they needed for the story and also what their audience needed.
Can I just say that I am still blown away at how beautifully they're able to weave in quick shots of memories from season one mm-hmm. that they're able to reuse and to really keep weaving. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous tapestry mm-hmm. of like camera and film.
Right.
I love it.
And the prime example of that would be the one with Randall and Jack.
In the teaching tie.
Them in the tie.
Yes.
You know, from yep. From the one where Randall comes to work with them.
Or Jack pulling up and seeing Kate.
Right. Right. Just excellent stuff. Okay, my love, do you have any hot takes? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, I do. Okay, so you know how we talked about earlier in this episode that they just don't have a lot from Jack. They have the watch. They have a couple of things.
Yeah.
You know, Rebecca has her necklace. You know, they got a couple of photos, but that's pretty much
everybody
it.
Everybody has something. Kate has the tape.
How much, and she has the urn too, by the way.
Yeah.
How much do you want to bet that Rebecca still has that coffee cup that Jack used?
Ew.
How much do you want to bet she still has the coffee cup? Because it's just something that he touched. It's yeah. something that was his.
Yeah.
And maybe she washed yeah. it out. You know, maybe it's not just hey. Old coffee, but like she...
It could be okay. If she probably might, drank it off.
I don't know. I just feel like that's one of those things that I think I would keep. Like, that was the last thing I remember my husband touching other than like my little necklace or whatever. Mm. And like, it was something he actively did.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know. It's either that or they saved the tickets from the Bruce Springsteen concert.
I can see that one better. All right.
All right. You ready let's to close it out?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's close this bad boy out.
Yes.
Let's you know, memorial, yes. baby. We're having fun
Amen.
With it.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, this episode, we want to give a huge shout out to Serena2014, who on the iTunes left us the review of another great podcast from Mary and Blake. My first was The Leftovers. They give thoughtful show coverage punctuated by very personal stories that can relate to each show topic and theme, all delivered by Mary's soothing voice and Blake's New England clam chowder accent.
Yeah, that's right, Serena.
I appreciate that the episodes are kept 30 to 40 minutes so they don't take all day to listen to. Thanks, guys. Thank you. And everybody, the countdown is still coming on. Are you rewatching? Watching? Are you just listening and enjoying it? Well, either way, if you can take a moment to write us a review. Now, I saw that we've got some ratings, some stars, but no additional written reviews. So if you can head on over and leave us some additional reviews, that would be amazing. Remember, just head on over.
We're trying to get to 45.
That's the goal, man. That's the goal. We're up to 40.
Let's beat AfterBuzz.
Let's do this.
They suck.
Let's stick it to the man.
And stick it to the Walmart.
That's right. All right, everybody. For now, I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is Us Too.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.